Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. My name is Marty Plum, and I am your host of A Pen and a Napkin Podcast, the weekly coaching clinic you can carry around with you in your pocket. Welcome to episode number 228. I knew it was in there somewhere. This week, it's going to be a completely different type of podcast. I don't think I've ever done anything like this. I've done quick hitters before, but this is going to be kind of the ultimate quick hitter. We're going to have a series of coaches on here for 7, 8, 9 minutes, and I'm going to ask every coach basically the same thing here. Talking about improvement season, and we're getting after it here in Nebraska. It's after Memorial Day, and after Memorial Day, that's when you can officially start working with your teams. So I'm going to ask everybody basically the same 5 questions. What is your focus for your team or your program during this improvement season, during the summer? Second question, how are you going to get better? You know, how are you going to implement this? What are you doing to make your program better? And then the third question, what is something you're focused on for yourself to get better during this improvement season? And then, you know, fourth one, how are you going to do that as well? What are you doing to make yourself better? And then the fifth thing, how are you going to push your staff to get better? And so basically, the plan is, these are the 5 questions that I'm going to ask everybody that's going to be on this week. And, you know, we'll see what they say. We've got people from all over the country here. A lot of my friends here, it was kind of a mass blast text message. Some of them local, some of them from all over the country. And I'm excited to see what people have to say, because this is a great opportunity. It's a great time. I really enjoyed a lot of the things about the summer. There's some things I didn't enjoy about the summer, but there's a freshness about it. You know, you enjoy kind of, it's kind of in some ways the purest form of coaching, because you're not really worried about the winning and the losing in the summer. You're just worried about teaching. You're evaluating your kids. You're evaluating your program. You're seeing what works and what doesn't work. And I think for a lot of coaches, this is a real enjoyable time period when you're just focused on improving. And so that's what we're going to talk about here. Hopefully you'll have some things that you can pick up on, and we'll see where it goes. So hope you enjoy this week's podcast. First up on this week's podcast is Kevin Giannata, the head boys basketball coach at Howells Dodge High School here in, Kevin, I can't remember, is it Howells or Dodge that you live in?
I live in Howells, but the school is Howells Dodge.
Yep, okay. So out of Howells, Nebraska, but working for Howells Dodge. Kevin, you're my guinea pig here. You're the first one to roll on this little experiment, so let's dive right into it. What's your focus for your team, for your program during this improvement season? What are the things that you're focused on with your program this summer?
Usually the summer, it's just an opportunity to try new things, you know, try to find the flow, you know, what type of style you're going to play. We graduated a lot of seniors last year, so you know, our team's going to go from kind of a post-dominated team to more of a guard-dominated. So what are some different things that we can do on offense, and what group of guys is going to mesh together? So we signed up for basically as many camps as we could to. I think between varsity and JV, you know, somewhere between 9 and 11 camps should put us at about 25 games for the varsity and about 15 for the JV. And basically just working on, you know, what works, what doesn't work, getting the guys to mesh together, and then just trying to get a schedule that's going to challenge the team to get better, because, again, your summer record really doesn't matter, so mm-hmm. Might as well just go for it.
Yeah, yeah, and if you're putting your summer record on your resume, you're in trouble.
Exactly. It's the appropriate time to try new things and see what works, and if something doesn't work, you know what, at least you don't waste your time with it when the season rolls around.
Yeah. Are you looking to shoot the three a little bit more to fit your personnel and making tweaks? You're out, you know, what do you kind of, you know, if we could dive in a little bit more on that, what are you looking at?
Yeah, no problem. Last year we were a 2-post dominated back to the hoop, feed the post, and our 3-pointers were going to come on kickouts. And actually our points per game was probably the lowest it's been since I've been at Howell's Dodge. I think we were somewhere in the 54 points per game range when we usually try to be up towards the 60 points per game. But more of a four out, even heck, we're going to try five out this summer and just see what that looks like for us. The posts I do have are maybe not as thick, but they're a little bit more athletic, a little quicker. So what can you do with a more agile post? And obviously they can shoot the three a little bit better. So yeah, we might be, God forbid, we might be five out, mm-hmm. something that I don't do a lot of, but it could be interesting.
Mm-hmm. Whose stuff or, who have you kind of looked at to replicate, to borrow from, with kind of making a switch to the five out?
I watch a lot of film and there's some teams that do some good things. I know Pender ran kind of a five out circle motion. You find segments of clinics on YouTube. There's some NBA stuff. There's a lot of teams running like zoom action and split action with the Warriors. So, there's different elements that we like. Now, some of those offenses are way more complicated than what I think my guys mm-hmm. can handle, but you can take pieces here and there and then just find a couple of things you like. And mm-hmm. like I said, the summer is when we're going to try them out, see what works.
Yeah. Along with the open gyms, anything else that you're, are you changing anything with, or I'm sorry. Along with your team camps, are you doing anything with your open gyms or anything differently in that regard?
All right. So this first week before most of the camps start, we try to do like a 3 or 4 day team camp. So they'll have morning weights and then we'll go into the gym for an hour and a half, 2 hours, and we'll work on ourselves, work on our skills, and then play some pickup games where we try some of these things, maybe put a couple easy inbound plays for the summer ball. And then the rest of June on Monday nights, we're doing a skills night where guys will come in and we'll just work post moves, we'll work guard moves, and just do some simple one-on-one, two-on-two, three-on-three, mm-hmm. and eventually escalate into five-on-five. So it's easier to pick up what you really need to work on when you start getting into the scrimmage opportunities against other teams. Are we not getting any post looks? Are we not knocking down shots? One-on-one, can we get around a defender? You really take notes on what's working and what's not working and what can you fix in the gym. So,
mm-hmm. How about you? What are some things that you are focused on personally as the head coach of your program to get better at, during improvement season here?
Yeah. Usually I try to read a couple books. Coach's Clinic, they always have a lot of information that's available that you can kind of sift through. Obviously go to coaches' clinic, see what other coaches are doing and hear from the people that speak at the clinic. And then I'm a big fan of, I listen to a lot of podcasts. I listen to your podcast. There's a
shameless plug. I appreciate that. Yeah.
There's one called Solving Basketball that I listen to pretty religiously. So, it's just like, sometimes I'll throw headphones on, mow the yard, and it must look weird from a distance when I shut the mower off and start typing something on my phone. Because if I hear an idea I like, I try to put it in my notes app just so I can go back and check it out later. But it's the time we want our players to grow during the summer. We say, hey, you don't become a good basketball player in season, you become a good basketball player in the off season. Well, as a coach, you kind of have to have the same mentality. If you're not trying to get a little bit better doing something, then maybe you're not doing your job.
Mm-hmm. Any books at all? Anything you're looking at there? Anything you're reading right now to help you out?
I haven't picked up anything yet. This is the busiest week of the summer. It's when I have my youth camp this week, and then 3-on-3 camp. So, usually I start looking around after this week when things get a little bit easier, and also the month of July we do a lot less basketball stuff, so it just gives more time for to find that kind of stuff.
I was actually thinking about that earlier this week. Is like I got to Tuesday and I'm like, hey, I don't have any camp. This is kind of a bizarre feeling. So last question, what are you doing with your coaching staff to help them get better as well?
Not much happens there. My two assistant coaches, they don't work for the school, so they have full-time jobs. One of them's a physical therapist, and the one's a local, kind of a farmer in the community. And I try to get them in as much as they can. But I understand that their schedules aren't like mine, where I get most of my summer off and, and they have to actually go to their job. So, you know, they come in when they can and they do what they can.
Yeah. Great stuff, Kevin. I wish you nothing but the best. Maybe try and shoot me your schedule here, and I'll try to get out and see if I can catch a team camp and watch you guys play.
Nope, that sounds great.
Awesome. Thanks, Kevin.
Yep, no problem.
Next up on episode 228, and his story this morning is very familiar to mine when my kids were this age. It's Jeff Schertz of Ballard of Huxley, Iowa. High school, and he is at the out and about with his kids. He is pulling Mr. Mom duty, whatever you want to call it. It's what I used to do when my kids were that young, Jeff. So I hear you, man. How's everything going?
Yeah, doing all right. I mean, I'm at like you mentioned, I'm at the fitness center here. They have internet and air conditioning and childcare, so. I'm working my brain out, I guess, as opposed to my body right now. So,
well, that's awesome. Well, hey, I'll try not to keep you terribly long here, but let's dive right into it, man. It's about go time here. Well, you guys can already go here in Iowa, and so what's your focus for your team this improvement season? What are you guys working on as a program? You know, to kind of start getting ready for the 24-25 season.
Yeah, well, I appreciate you having me on, and I don't know if you stole that term from me or if I stole that term from you, but I use that term and I like it. It's not to say that we're not improving during the year, you know, but you can obviously have a little more focus on that in the off season. I have a few thoughts with our individuals. We really try to work a lot on decision making, shoot pass drive decisions.
Yep.
You know, every play, good for good or bad, ends with, you know, I had Coach Boyce, so in my case, you know, a guy with a ball making one of these decisions. And you know, we do that a few different ways, a lot of short sided games, some constraints, some advantage or disadvantage type situations. But for us in our program, to get a little more specific with those individuals, we do a lot out of ball screen, and then a fair amount of finishing out of one-on-one situations. And then, of course, you got the catch and shoot, which if you can knock down shots, we did that last year, and it really helped us.
Yeah. Amazing how much hitting a few jump shots makes you look smarter.
Yeah, to the point where I'm like, well, did we play well or did we just shoot it well?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's a thing to kind of constantly think about and evaluate. But something else with us is just stampede catching. You know, for some of our guys are really good at it, so we want them to get better and others to improve. So as far as individuals, those are some of the areas and some of the things that we're thinking about, but that we're going to work on most days. As a team, so our team last year, we had a nice end to the season. We had a pretty good season overall. We ended in the state tournament, lost in the first round there, and we lost two seniors, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
So we, you know, hopefully everybody's healthy and all that kind of stuff. But coming out of last year into this year, you know, those two guys were valuable for us, but it was just two of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as opposed to losing five or seven or whatever the case may be. So we're doing a lot of building off of last year, which is a great place to be in. A couple things specifically with respect to team stuff that we're looking to do this summer is we're kind of tweaking our transition spacing. I think we can kind of maybe find something a little bit better in that category. We're playing around with a few of our quicks or our arrive actions, you know, some of the stuff we do that we flow into. And like I said, we have a good amount of guys returning, but we'll have a few guys in some slightly different spots. We're not real strict on where we run.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're not always the left corner guy, but certain guys will be in either more actions this year or just slightly different actions. And so that's definitely a goal of our competition and our practice coming up. And really, then the last thing is defensively, we're kind of messing around with some of our presses and just building off of last season. There's probably less to teach and break down and install and more of tweaks for us, and let's get better at a lot of the things we do.
Mm-hmm. How are you doing that? Is it a lot of team camps? Is it open gyms? How are you structuring your open gyms to do that? You know, what's the plan to put all these things into action, Jeff?
Yeah, good question. I've never done this, but our first day is June 1st. That's when we can start. So tomorrow, we're playing tomorrow.
Wow!
So we're meeting at the gym. We've got 30 minutes. I'm going to go over two different things for them, and then we're getting in a van and we're going to play.
Mm-hmm.
And then we use pretty much every day in June. July gets a little hit or miss with, you know, I've got a few. I'll go work Snow Valley. I got a coach's the NHSBCA conference in Nashville I'll try to go to.
Uh-huh.
And so we'll do it in both. We'll play and we'll practice. It's a couple of things that I like that we do. We go to four, you could call them team camps. We pay to go to them.
Yeah.
You know, so we're going to go that way. There's referees and it's game like, and you know, I can't just stop the game. So we're going to go to Iowa Falls. We'll have referees there. We're going to go to Grandview's team camp. We're going to go to Winterset. They run a 2-day deal. We're going to go play down there, three games in one day. And then we're going to go to Kansas City to the Junior Scholastic event towards the end of the month. Now, in addition to that, we'll practice if we're not playing, and that's a whole kind of organizational deal where we work around with football and we get our baseball guys when we can get them, but it's usually in the mornings in the summer. But something I've really enjoyed is we'll get together on three different occasions with some of the schools that we don't normally play, and we'll practice with each other or mm-hmm. against each other.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been a lot of fun because we won't have referees, so it's way more like practice.
Yeah,
and you're just not playing. You're not playing yourself,
yeah.
Right? So you don't know. I don't care what they're trying to do right now. I'm just focusing on us. And
yeah.
So when you're going against yourself in practice, your kids, they kind of, you know, it's just different going against somebody that doesn't know what you're trying to do.
Sure,
you know. And so we'll do that, which that'll be good. We have three of those on the calendar. Yeah. So.
Awesome.
A good amount of playing, good amount of practice, and some structured practice, and
yep.
You know, hopefully we come out of it better.
What about you individually? What are you focused on for yourself during the off season here, during improvement season?
Yeah, I've said, you know, kind of told our program, our kids, and our parents and stuff. You know, we ask our players to get better. Our coaches are getting better too. To get better at coaching, probably the best thing you can do is coach.
Yeah.
And so, while I can't just, you know, schedule that for myself 5 days a week, I think going to work Snow Valley has been a lot of fun. But you get to coach.
Yeah.
You get to instruct. You have a team. You get to potentially run a
clinic
breakdown run a clinic, right?
Yep.
I've been fortunate to get to do that in the past. So, I'm going to continue to do that. I've got a few books that I go through each summer, and this year this first one's kind of been more for fun, but it's a relatively new book. It's called Pipeline to the Pros.
I've seen that.
I'm about halfway through that. It's how, and the rest of the title is How Division III Small College Nobody's Rose to Rule the NBA. So that's a little bit more for fun and just, you know, to kind of enjoy reading. But I've got to finish up another book called How Basketball Can Save the World. I'll just kind of hit you with the contents here, but there's principles, I want to say 13 principles about basketball and how it can save the world, according to the author, David Hollander.
Okay.
Cooperation, the balance of the individual and collective. Third one is balance of force and skill. Next one is positionlessness. Then human alchemy, make it global. It's gender inclusive and so forth and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And then a book that I'm going to go back and reread. So this has kind of guided a lot of my thinking over time, but it's called Offense Wins. It's a book by Joe Crispin.
Okay.
And it's a player's principles for great basketball offense. And in it, actually the style of the book is pretty cool. It's notes and his thoughts when he was a player.
Mm-hmm.
That he and then now he's a coach, And then it's him like circling back and sharing his thoughts and comments as a coach. And so then there's some thoughtful questions at the end. And, you know, his principles for this are empower us with an offensive identity, develop a system that's simple, consistent, and comprehensive, emphasize rhythm, create more space, make us move, but not too much, center our offense on what our best players do best. I'll go ahead and finish these up here, and then we can move on. Train us to counter the defense, train us to move the ball, embrace and prepare us for transition-oriented basketball, clarify our offensive goals, and the final two here, exercise wisdom and restraint with your set plays, and the very last one is let us play.
Yeah.
And so taking what, you know, I've done in the past and some of the principles and ideas in that book are really helpful to think about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but then kind of the beauty of it, the fun challenge of all this for me is how does, you don't just want to a la carte pick things and just throw them to your team.
Yeah.
Without any thought. It's like applying, you know, what is best for us, what is best for this group,
yep.
You know, and how can we kind of maximize, you know, our potential. And the cool thing is, I don't know what that could be,
yeah.
You know. We had a good year last year. We'd like to have another good year this year, but that's the process. That's fun to go through and to figure out.
Yep. Last thing, Jeff, here, you get one extra question.
Okay.
How's the new podcast going? Tell folks about it. You got a couple minutes to plug the new IBCA Coaches Podcast, which is really good stuff, in my opinion. So
I appreciate hearing that, and definitely have been inspired by you and yours and others around that I've listened to. The IBCA had a podcast in the past, and it kind of went dormant for a short period of time, and we've rebooted it, is the term we've been using, mm-hmm. with our coach mentoring program. In mind, and really kind of that being, I don't know, the details,
yep.
You know, encompassing that. And so every other week is guaranteed to be a new episode, but occasionally we'll throw some additional ones in there. And we follow along the coaches' season. And, you know, we had something recently about, you know, planning for the summer. When we get into the school year, we'll hit on some of those topics and, you know, some discussion of postseason play in January and February time, and we'll hit on things from parent meetings to X's and O's. So that can be found at, you know, almost any of the podcast platforms, and it's the IBCA podcast, the Iowa Basketball Coaches Association. The logo is on the tag there on the front cover. So it's been a lot of fun to get that going again. I've worked on it, like I said, with respect to our mentoring program, but we also have Coach Derek Dingler and Coach Nate Sanderson involved in various capacities, and they do a great job. And in addition to them, our committee that meets, you know, with the IBCA has some great ideas and input. And I guess, you know, my name might be on a few more things than some others, but we all work hard at it, and it's a good time.
Yeah. Well, go check it out, coaches. If you're not going to listen to A Pen and a Napkin, another good one to really listen to is the Iowa Basketball Coaches Association podcast. I suggest you listen to both. I'm just being selfish there, but that's just me. So, hey, Jeff, really appreciate you, man. Good luck this summer.
Hey, thanks for the conversation.
You bet.
All right.
Coaches, it is official. October 12th and 13th, Saturday and Sunday, October 12th and 13th, 2024, will be our first annual A Pen and a Napkin Coaches Retreat. It is going to be over 24 hours of just basketball coaching and getting yourself primed and ready for the upcoming season. We're going to do a lot of different things. Coach Flannery and the staff at Creighton University have been gracious enough to allow us to come in and watch them practice that day. We're going to have roundtable sessions with coaches that you're attending the clinic with, which is one of the best aspects of any A Pen and a Napkin event. We're going to have a full timeout situation score group discussion with the coaches that are attending, as well as coaches social, and then, of course, guest speakers. We got some great coaches lined up right now. We're probably going to be adding a couple of more here. It is going to be a great, great weekend here in Omaha. We'll be staying at the Holiday Inn Express at 87th and West Dodge Road here in Omaha, and it is really, really affordable. $200 for the weekend, and that includes food, that includes your lodging at the hotel, drinks, everything that goes into it. It is going to be included in that $200 for well over 24 hours worth of activities. If you're a commuter, if you're living in the Omaha area and you want to join in, but you don't want to stay at the hotel, it's $125. Think of that. That's literally $5-6 an hour for an entire weekend of becoming a better coach. So coaches, I encourage you to sign up as soon as you can for the first annual A Pen and a Napkin Fall Coaches Retreat. Next up on this week's podcast, and better late than never because the host forgets to write some things down here, is Brandon Schwab, the head girls basketball coach at Algona Garrigan High School here. Coach, how you doing this morning?
Doing great, and a day of it not raining. So in north central Iowa, we have had a spring of rain for sure. And, you know, I'm a farmer, so currently right now replanting some soybeans while I talk to you.
Well, I hope I don't goof up the soybeans here. So, but Coach Schwab, highly successful program there at Garrigan. But also you keep moving the goalposts. So, Coach, what are you looking at for your team this improvement season? What are some things that you're focused on to make the Bears better?
Well, you know, one area we've got to be better at for sure is rebounding. We lost our best first-team All-State rebounder that was an automatic double-double girl with graduation. Abby Capacious is going to play basketball at Bemidji State, Division II, and she was just an excellent player for us, four-year varsity starter for us, and you know, that's a big hole to fill. You know, the experience she brought and the way she rebounded the basketball and the way I could put her on the other team's best player and her neutralize the other team's best player was big for us. So, you know, that attention of getting a little better on the rebounding and finding that next shutdown defender is something we're focusing on. You know, we returned four or five starters from last year, which is a good thing, but, you know, lost a big hole in leadership and things that we're just trying to see this summer on who steps up into that leadership role and who's, we know collectively we're not going to have one person replace Abby. Mm-hmm. But as a team, we're really focused, and we talked day one of our workouts about, you know, it's going to be a collective effort on rebounding and defense, because all of us need to step up a little bit to replace her hole.
So what are some things that you have planned to, you know, kind of, let's drill down here a little bit, Brandon. You know, what are some, you talked about group rebounding and then the leadership hole, you know, so what are some things that you have planned here for the next couple of months to begin that process of replacing those two really, really important things that Abby left behind?
Well, you know, we had said, you know, day one of our practices that has started that, you know, we're all leaders right now. I don't know who's going to be our leader. So it doesn't matter to me if you're a freshman. It doesn't matter to me if you're going to be a senior. We're all going to collectively hammer this and be together in the off season. And everybody's a leader on our team right now. So we need, we're taking it as a team approach, and we're going to see who stands out in those areas, you know, in our practices, in our workouts, and, you know, rebounding things, you know, things you've taken advantage in the past with having a Abby Capacious and Audie Crooks that they just got rebounds, you know, and something, you know, we put a different new rebounding drill in daily right now in practice just to emphasize it a bit in the off season. And I know in the off season, you're not going to get 100% defensive effort, 100% game-like rebounding stuff, mm-hmm. but it's got to be a point of emphasis right now. That's an area we need to improve on and need to make sure nightly we talk about, practice-wise we talk about and implement drills into it, just so there's a strong point of emphasis of that coming into the season.
With the leadership part of it, and it's a thing that 99.9% of programs have to go through from one year to the next. Who's going to be our next wave of leaders? You know, is the plan kind of let it to come about organically, or do you have some things in mind that you know, here's an activity, and I'm kind of curious. I'm going to set up the activity to kind of see who takes the bull by the horns here, or type of a thing there.
You know, you can see really quickly, you know, who's jumping in the front of lines of drills, who's helping younger players through thing. You know, we've got a really good incoming freshman class that, but they haven't been a part of our summer program, our summer practices before. And, you know, who's helping them out in drills? Who's, you know, who's talking constantly in practice? You know, who's silent, who's not, you know, I mean, those are things that, you know, we're looking at as a coaching staff every practice that we've got in the summer, and every time we play together in the summer is, you know, we're looking at that. Who doesn't get frustrated? Who's, when somebody's struggling, who's going to that person as a teammate and talking to them, and, you know, and making sure us as a staff are seeing that and making that pointed out to the team that, you know, whether it's, you know, Zoe's doing a great job of communicating in practice, talking, you know, and that's what we need more of, you know, and when kids, I think, hear that, see that, that's an important to Coach Schwab, I mean, we get more and do it. It's just kind of contagious. And we've had a lot of kids learn from really good players like Abby and Audie and Molly, you know how to do it. And so these kids have been around, whether they were watching us play the last, you know, 6-7 years or being a part of the team. Like Zoe is a 4-year varsity player for us, and she'll be a senior. So she's been around. She understands how it needs to be run, what the intensity is when we start practice. We go an hour and a half, 2 days a week of practice. And she stepped in a lot in the first couple we've had.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Brandon? You know, what are some things that you're working on in your toolbox to get yourself better for the 24-25 season?
Well, you know, I've spent some evenings, you know, on championship video, you know, just coming up with some different things that we haven't done. We're obviously going to stay to our high-low game, and we run a high-low man offense, and, you know, just positioning different players in that. But, you know, I love in the off season reaching out to, you know, coaches that I became friends with, you know, getting some new ideas, you know, a lot of that things of just shooting some different ideas off. I try to not make practice a boring thing to do. Having new drills, new things like that, I'm always challenging my assistants, hey, bring 2 new drills today in that we haven't seen. You know, whatever you think that we need to work on, it's yours. You've got 10, 15 minutes of this practice, and whatever you want to do with it that you think we need, you know, we're doing. So, you know, just trying to keep things fresh, trying to put new ideas in my brain on how we need to play this year. We're going to have great depth. So, we pressed a lot last year. We're looking to crank it up a little bit because I think we can go 9 or 10 deep this year with our bench, and just trying to develop that pressing, fast-paced style because we do have good athletes, and just trying to get that style in a new way.
Mm-hmm. What about your staff? You know, as you grow into your role, sounds like you're delegating a little bit more to your staff, and you're kind of challenging them to think outside the box as well, and giving them some freedom in that regard. You know, what are you doing with your staff to help them get better?
Well, you know, we're in a unique situation that I've had the same staff now for 13 or 14 years. Mm-hmm. So the same Coach Elbert and Coach Bartolo have been with me through the last 13, 14 years, you know, and we work really well together. So, you know, those guys want to coach basketball, and they want to be very much part of the varsity team. We take it as a collective effort, you know, from all of us. You know, Coach Bartolo calls all of our baseline out of bounds, sideline out of bounds plays. I mean, he creates them himself. He has 100% freedom to do what he wants with them. You know, Coach Elbert works a lot with our post players and skill development with shooting in the summer. So he sees players that are struggling with their shot or need to work on their shot. He's taking them to a side basket and working on that. So, you know, we just work really well together as a group, you know, and they have the freedom to bounce ideas and call out and practice what they think we should do. I mean, they've got complete freedom of that, and we've adjusted a lot through the years on what assistants are doing. Without a doubt, in the last 5-6 years, I've really, you know, unleashed the reins on my assistant coaches. I mean, I treat them as head coaches, and they've got as much say as we do, and we work together like that, and I let them know all the time, and the team know, you know, they're as much as a head coach as I am. I just have the title, but those guys do as much for our program as anybody.
Mm-hmm. Great stuff, Brandon. Hey, I hope you have a great summer, my man.
All right, appreciate it.
Yep. Next up on our podcast this week is Jeff Miskowitz, and I nailed it again there, Coach. Jeff is the girls' basketball coach at King Philip Regional High School in Wrentham, Massachusetts. Jeff, welcome to the pod.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So we're talking about improvement season here. We're talking about getting better, making the program better, making yourself better. So let's start with the program. What's your main focus with your program here during improvement season, and what are you going to do to have a better season this year than you had last year?
Yeah, so I mean, we actually graduated 8 seniors from our team last year, so we're going to be much younger than we were the previous year. So I really want to ramp up our secondary break and primary break just because I do not want to go against set defenses. So we're going to try to make it a little bit more structured. We definitely picked up the tempo last year, but I want to make it a little bit more structured so we can run both, you know, after a made basket and off of a miss.
Mm-hmm. Who are you looking at for influences there to help out with that transition stuff? Is it a Loyola Marymount? Is it kind of the double barrel, kind of what Iowa's ran the last few years with Caitlin Clark? What are you looking at doing?
Yeah, so I've been looking, working with Matt Hackenberg, and he's been promoting Matt Kramer, his website. So with that, I've been looking at his secondary break and trying to flow into mine. I'm only on the first half because it's like 140 pages total. It's very detailed. So I'm going to start there and see where it goes.
Okay. What are you going to do? What's the plan with your team? What's the plan with your program to take kind of this schematic emphasis and get it flowing to the best of your ability by the end of the summer here?
Yeah, that's tougher for us. Working in Massachusetts, we're probably the most restrictive state in the country where we actually cannot coach our team. So for us, it's just kind of maybe instilling that mindset throughout the summer. And as coaches, you know, doing as much research as we can. So once we can hit the ground running, our tryouts start.
Mm-hmm. So with that in Massachusetts, are you guys allowed to do like individual workouts? Do you get to do team camps? What's the process? What can you do to try and help emphasize this for your kids?
Not much, actually. We're not allowed to do individual workouts, team workouts. I mean, I can't even coach summer league. No one on my staff can coach summer league. So we try to run summer league through our captains. Mm-hmm. So we have them coach both the varsity and JV summer leagues.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're lucky up. We have the Wally Seaver tournament in Massachusetts, which is the biggest summer league tournament in the New England area. And my assistant's dad, who coached us back in the day, actually coaches our team for that. So we have like a actual coach for that tournament too. So I think for us, it's just trying to keep as much contact with the girls as we can and making sure that they're playing and getting better.
So you can kind of, you know, here's kind of what I'd like to see. Here's some of the basic concepts I want you to work on. And as I'm watching you play, this is, you know, this is kind of what I want to see as I'm watching you play from the bleachers type of a thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I try to, you know, chat with the girls after the game and kind of pick their brains and see what they're seeing. And I love when they start, you know, mimicking the things that we're talking about during the year. I love it when I see that in summer league when I can't coach them.
Mm-hmm. What about you? What are you looking to do here? Obviously, we ask our kids to get better. So what's Jeff Miskowitz doing here this offseason, this improvement season, to make himself better for his players?
Yeah, so I think obviously with wanting to run next year, I got to find ways to incorporate more conditioning in our practices. Mm-hmm. And then obviously we want to try to couple that with shooting free throws while we're tired. But I think besides that, I want to try to incorporate more agility stuff, possibly with the conditioning. Because I think it's one thing to be conditioned, but it's also another thing to be fast and agile. And we worked with agility ladders a little bit last year, so I'm trying to find more ways to incorporate some, you know, speed and footwork drills into it on top of the conditioning.
What are you? Who are you looking at there to kind of help you with that? Who are some people other than those Yahoos, Hackenberg and Kramer? I can say that they're previous guests. Who are you looking at to kind of help develop that part of it? Where are you getting that stuff from?
Yeah, so I kind of started with two sources already. I just bought and currently reading Alex Sarama's book on Transforming Basketball. It literally just came out a couple weeks ago. And he's really big on trying to teach our athletes to be athletes, you know, putting them in situations where they have to find a way to, like, physically move through or finish at the rim. So I was looking at him, and then Lockdown Defense, Michael Jackie. His stuff too. I have his first book I was looking at as well, because I'm a big defensive coach, so him and I are very similar in that breath.
Yeah, that Alex Sarama, I just spent 2 hours talking to him last week, so
I saw that. Yeah, he's a great guy.
Really, really good stuff there. So Jeff, how about your staff? What are you trying to do with your staff to get your staff ready for next season?
Yeah, I'm lucky that I got two. We have three levels at KP, so I have freshman and JV that are paid positions. I have a paid varsity one assistant, and I have two volunteers. So we've had a little bit of turnover. I had an assistant get a head coaching job a couple years ago, so it's gonna be nice just to have a staff back and full. So what I'm trying to do next year is, I mentioned to you earlier, I just had a kid. He's 1 year old, so I'm actually trying to delegate a lot more than I have in years past. So I want to give coaches specific things that, you know, I kind of took fully. I want to try to give them a little ownership over some things like fundraising and the gear and stuff like that. And then we actually have a shared Google Drive that I use for my staff, and I put all of our resources and things like that in there, so they have access to it as well.
Great stuff, Jeff. Great stuff, great ideas, great organizational stuff. Anything else that you got going on this summer that you want to share?
No, I'm just busy with the kid. I'm looking forward. It's been a crazy year. This is my first year teaching and coaching with a toddler or an infant at home. So looking forward to spending some more time with him, because, you know, it's tough during the season, as I'm sure a lot of coaches know, when you have a family. So you definitely have to maximize that time when you can.
Yep. Well, hey, great stuff here today, Jeff. Really appreciate your time. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Yep. Next up on this week's podcast is, I don't know, is he man? Is he a myth? Is he a legend? Who is Mark Krueger? I know he's a defending state champion, and Krugs, I don't think I've had a chance to formally congratulate you on the podcast for winning state championship. So congratulations, my friend.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
Still a good memory, that's for sure. It was a good time and a very exciting game, and glad we came out on top of it, that's for sure.
Yeah. Now time to put that in the rearview mirror, though, and look ahead. I mean, what's been – because you've got – you don't have everybody back, but you've got a good percentage of your team back, including your two best players.
Yeah.
What's – you know, you're in a little bit different position. You got to stay hungry here. Well, what's the – what's been the – the selling job with that, you know, starting, you know, probably before this week, but especially this week as you've gone through camp stuff.
Yeah. So, there's no, you know, I'm not going to beat around the bush. We returned three really good players. All three are potentially going to play Division I basketball. So we do return our three leading scorers and three really good players. And we also graduated three kids that were major pieces on that team. We have some question marks. We know three people that will play a lot of minutes, and after that, things are wide open. And the good thing is we have a good group of kids that can potentially step up. And so it's going to be interesting through the summer to see who does step up. And so again, in our position, we're happy that we have. You know, we're not putting all our money on one kid, and, you know, this kid has to step up for us. We feel like we have lots of options, and, you know, you never want to pit kids against each other. But yeah, we're looking for people to step up and be able to fill some roles for us. So, yeah, it'll be interesting. And we just finished up a good week of camp here. And so we'll start some league games here next week. And, yeah, summer's fun. June is super busy, but it's fun.
It's a fine line, Kruger, where I would imagine you want your kids to be confident and to know that, okay, we have climbed the mountain before and we know what it takes to climb the mountain. But however, ladies, that journey is done. That team is done and over with. And if you want to do it again, we got to do this and this and this and this. Is that part of the communication process that you and Casey and the rest of the staff have gone through?
Yeah. So Tuesday morning, so we started camp the Tuesday after Memorial Day here this week. So 7:30 a.m. Tuesday morning, we had them all get there, and we turned and looked up at the banner that's now up on our gym wall. And we said, hey, you know, that was a lot of fun, and that was one hell of a team. But that team doesn't exist anymore. Mm-hmm. And this is a new team mm-hmm. that is going to be different. And, you know, we may have to try to figure things out, you know, differently and do different things and, you know, offensively and defensively. And so, you know, we can't just walk in and show up and expect things to just magically happen for us. So, yeah, we'll see. I think they still have that hunger and stuff. And so, you know, we'll see. Maybe it'd be good for us to get punched in the mouth a few times here this summer too. So,
yeah. So what are you looking at with your team, Mark? What are you looking at what have you and Casey identified as the couple of big things that, you want this team to be better at and improve upon, when it comes to kind of the execution of things and how are you going to do it? What's the plan to make that better?
Yeah. So I think number one, like I said, I think we'll score points. We have some really skilled players coming back. I think the biggest thing is going to be, we're going to be smaller. Mm-hmm. The three kids that played major minutes that graduated were, you know, 5'10", 5'11", long, you know, athletic kids. And some of the kids that we're looking at that could potentially step in and play roles are, you know, 5'6", 5'7". Some of them could be sophomores, so they're not as physically strong as those seniors that we graduated last year. So that's kind of the number one thing is, you know, that our length and things last year really bothered people defensively. And so, you know, how are we going to overcome that? Are we going to have to do some things differently defensively? That's the main thing. Offensively, in camp this week, we tinkered with a few things. You know, you're never going to fully install something in the summer, I don't think, you know, because by the time you come back in November, they're not going to remember it anyway. But just in camp, just kind of for us coaches, we tinkered with some things, maybe with how we run motion offense, and just kind of looked at it. And it's like, okay, is this something that maybe we want to continue to do going forward, or do we want to scrap it? But basically it's just about the kids getting themselves better. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of where we're at. So we're not going to do anything drastically different when we come back in November, mm-hmm. when we start playing, you know, people that have seen us play, you know, it's no mystery. We're going to play man to man and we're going to run motion offense. And, so yeah, that's what they're going to get.
What's your system? What's your structure of helping your kids get better?
Well, so our summers look like, we come 3 mornings a week, and we lift for an hour and then we do skill work for an hour, 3 days a week. And I guess one thing we're doing a little bit differently this year is we're doing the skill stuff twice a week, and then 1 day a week we're going to make it kind of a 3-on-3 day. Mm-hmm. And we're just going to divide up and play 3-on-3. Mm-hmm. And a lot of our kids, you know, play club ball, and so they're, you know, they're doubling out of their club team practice, and so they're still getting skill work and things like that. Mm-hmm. So we're doing two days of skill stuff in the summer, and then a day of just playing 3-on-3 games.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Mark? What are you looking to add to your toolbox here as a coach? You and I are both seasoned and experienced, but you're always looking to get better, and I know you're a hardworking guy, and you're putting in the time to make yourself better so that you make your team better. So what are you looking to add to your own skill set to help, you know, hopefully hang another banner there out of 178th and Q?
Yeah, well, I'm always going down rabbit holes of you know, basically I can try to, you know, search and Google and YouTube motion offense drills and motion offense theories, and that's kind of my thing. You know, I can go, like I said, I can get lost doing that for a long time. So again, it's nothing making major changes, it's just little tweaks or things here to you know, one thing we really try to do here when we run motion offense is, you know, reading screens. You know, hey, when do I, how do I, you know, curl this, or do I want to slip it? So any kind of drills, mm-hmm, that can help kind of ingrain that stuff, your combination drills of motion offense and shooting at the same time, you know, any kind of that stuff, I'll eat that stuff up. And, mm-hmm, and like I said, defensively, you know, we may look at maybe doing a few things differently because of our size. So, yeah, I'm just trying to always find a little nugget here or there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What about the staff? What are you working with your staff to try and get them to take steps forward in the improvement season as well?
Well, I'm lucky that my whole staff, every single one of them, are back, which is great. So I'm not having to, you know, kind of train a rookie or something on, or somebody who's never coached with us and here's how we do things and all that. So everybody is kind of on par with what we do and how we want to do it. A lot of them, or I shouldn't say a lot of them, a couple of them also coach a club team, in the summer. So, that always kind of hones your skills too a little bit. You're always around the game and seeing different things and situations and different kids and things like that. But we don't have plans to go to a big clinic or anything this summer. Maybe this fall, mm-hmm, we'll do something like that. But
there's a pin and a napkin fall retreat on October 12th and 13th that I think would work well. You know, I mean, just randomly throwing that out there, that pops right into my head. But
they call that a shameless plug.
It is a shameless shame. I have no shame. You've known me for far too long. You know, yeah. You know, I have no shame. So
no problems with that. Yeah. Yep. No problems with that. But you know, those, my lower level coaches will cover, you know, my JV kids will play in a league, so they'll be covering that. And then a freshman play in a league. So they're out there coaching and stuff like that. But I also want them to be with their families and go on vacation and enjoy themselves too. So,
mm-hmm. Well, hey, great stuff, Kruger. We'll have to have a committee meeting here soon, and we'll get it all. We'll solve all the world's problems as we always do. How's that sound?
All right. That sounds good.
All right. Thanks, Krugs.
All right.
Coaches, you know just as well as I do that we're always looking for new and different ways to motivate our players and programs. But sometimes it's hard to find that perfect source that we're looking for. Over the past 25 years, I've collected hundreds of handouts to help motivate my players and programs. And now I'd like to share some of my favorites with you. The A Pen and a Napkin 101 Best Handouts booklet is now available to you for only $15. In this booklet, you'll find motivational material for all types of situations and individuals to help you communicate your values to your players and program. For ordering information, you can either DM me on Twitter or email me at apenandanapkin@gmail.com for details. Humphrey, Lindsay Hoadley family's own Joe Hesse is on the line here, straight from Arizona. He's got his tan. He's feeling good. He's a bronze god out there, just north of Columbus, Nebraska. Joe, how are we doing this fine Saturday morning?
Good, Marty. It's a dry heat.
Whoa.
You know, just hot.
I had just taken a big drink of a big swig of my soda, and so you got me on that one, Hesse. That was a good one.
Thank you. Awesome.
Well, hey, let's jump into it before I choke on anything else here.
You bet.
What do you got? What do you got focused here for the summer? What are the Bulldogs? What are we working on? What do we want to get better?
Yeah. So we have this 3-on-3 transition game that we always like to play in practice. It's really fun. Kind of starts out, you divide your kids into two teams, and then you have each team has a line under their basket, and then each team has lines both sides of the free throw lane, one on each side. And you start on offense, you go down, you try to score, and then once you score, turn the ball over, the other team gets the ball. The first kids in their lines are all going to take off down the floor. So they're pushing the ball hard and you have to sprint back really hard. We're going to get together with other teams and we're going to try to mix our kids up and play this transition game. And I'm hoping we can have like a varsity court, mm-hmm. kind of a JV court, and then like a younger guy freshman court.
Yeah.
And we can just mix it up, not going to charge kids any money. Just let our best players play this game. You know, a lot of people are big fans of 3-on-3. You know, you can't hide in 3-on-3. You got to be a good player, got to contribute. We kind of do that mm-hmm. with this full court version. And, you know, it's a great summer game, I think, because kids get to take a break.
Yeah.
You go hard for about 20, 30 seconds, and then you're sitting for maybe a minute, mm-hmm. getting ready to wait your turn. So we're going to experiment with that. We want our kids to just get better as individuals, and then come the season, we'll work on the X's and O's and what we need to do. But man, we'd go to summer camps and, you know, your 6th, 7th, 8th guy, how many times do they shoot the ball?
Yeah.
If you go to an actual camp that you're paying $300 for, or whatever, for
yeah.
a handful of games, are they getting better?
Mm-hmm.
So we wanted to try to do some things to help those kids out and put a ball in their hands more. And hopefully this is it.
Yeah. You know, the 3-on-3 stuff forces, if you're the 6th kid, let's say, in your varsity rotation, but the way it fell in your rotation for this 3-on-3 rotation, you're number one in this group, you know, yeah. maybe or something like that. So that forces you to be more offensively aggressive for your team to do well. That's part of the process, isn't it, Joe?
Yeah, I mean, you gotta put them in those situations and mm-hmm. make them wear those hats. And man, like I said, when we go to camps and we play games, that's rarely going to be the case for that kid. So, mm-hmm. You know, you get together. My hope is you get together with some other teams and play this game. You know, kids are going to have to learn who are good players. We're going to have to raise their IQs, and then hopefully it just raises the level of play because everybody's going to compete and play hard.
Yeah.
Because nobody wants to lose, and everybody wants to, I don't know, kind of put their best foot forward, I guess.
Absolutely. Anything else that you're doing for the good of the program here? Are you guys doing a lot of open gyms? Skill workouts, you know, are you going to a lot of team camps? What's kind of the process there?
We'll have a handful of team camps, and then we're going to try, we're weightlifting in the morning. And we're going to try to open our gym up about mm-hmm. every day after weights and just give kids an opportunity to come in and shoot.
Mm-hmm.
The skill development bit, we might bring in somebody to come run a camp for us, but man, the biggest thing, I want to give kids the opportunity to come in and shoot the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Man, at our level, if we just had one or two more shooters, it always feels like, you know, we would have went a little bit farther last year.
Mm-hmm.
If we can get one or two more kids to shoot the ball a little bit better, we'll go a little bit farther this year. So we want to give them plenty of opportunities to do that. And hopefully that helps out.
Do you guys have like a tracking system at all with your shooting, or are you just opening it up and just saying, hey, I really felt like I saw Bobby in the gym a lot. Billy, I didn't see you in the gym much, or, you know, or are you asking your kids to track shots or track open gym sessions or anything like that?
We're tracking shots in the gym. We want to track makes. I think we'll go maybe like the first 30 minutes you're just shooting. And then the last 30 minutes, you can play some games and have some fun, but we want to know how many shots you make. And it's kind of new. I don't know what to expect, and I don't know what to set for benchmarks for prizes or anything, but hopefully the following year we'll kind of have some baseline data to say, you know, these are good numbers to reach for. Here's a T-shirt.
Yep, yep. What about you, Joe? What are you doing to make yourself better this summer?
Oh, man, I've you know, we've always kept our offenses really, really simple. We like to play through the elbow, get the ball to the high post against a man or a zone. I've been watching a lot of Princeton offense videos and trying to figure out how to incorporate some of those things into what we're doing in the high school level. And we just had our own little team camp to get us ready for the summer and added a couple wrinkles to what you're doing, to what we're doing. And I'm just going to keep trying to be a sponge and pick up some different things and see how they fit with how we like to play.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to get a master's from YouTube University this summer, I guess.
What's the tuition rate for that?
Free, actually. I know a guy, so.
You know a guy that has the web address?
Yep.
There you go. What about your staff? Excuse me. What about your staff? What are you talking about with your staff? Trying to get them to get better as well.
That is a good question. I'm in a neat spot where, I'm at a small school, but both of my assistants are older than me, and both of them were head coaches for maybe longer than me. So sometimes bossing those guys around doesn't feel like the best thing to do. I'm more just kind of lean on them for inside input. And sometimes each of them, sort of see the game or see situations different than I would. And they just kind of provide some different, advice, I guess. And, any more than that, that's really all I ask of them.
Mm-hmm. Well, hey, great stuff, Joe. I appreciate it. If you get around the Omaha area this summer, give me a holler. I'd love to see the Bulldogs play a little bit.
Well, you bet. That would be awesome.
All right. Thanks, Joe.
You bet.
Just off of the workout track, he put Jane Fonda to shame this morning. It's Mr. Jim Simons from Westside High School here in Omaha. Jim, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing well, Marty. How about you?
I'm doing all right. You know, kind of getting ready to go here this Saturday morning. Got some honeydews to do around the house, but you're the priority right now, Jim, and I just want you to know that.
I'm sure your wife would be thrilled to hear that.
probably not. So, hey, let's jump into it here. I'm guessing you guys got started with some stuff here this week. What's the focus for the Westside Warriors here this summer? What's one, two, three things that you want to see some improvements with your program here this summer?
Well, yeah, we got going on Tuesday. It's Saturday morning, as you said, and we were able to do 3 days of our kind of, we call our team install camp, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and then we actually got to play in a three-game team camp yesterday on Friday. So, mm-hmm. You know, just getting started. We've got a new group this year. We have two returners who saw significant varsity minutes, probably our fifth and sixth man from last year, but we lost probably our top four, you know, leading scorers in terms of, you know, points, rebounds, minutes, and probably played an eight-man rotation and, a seven-man rotation, actually, and five of those seven are gone. So, you know, one of the things that we found very quickly yesterday is we have a good group. We've got a talented group. We think we've got some really good pieces, but our chemistry is not near what it needs to be in terms of our communication was shockingly poor yesterday and just, you know, maybe having a comfort with our, you know, our system and how we want to play. We've got, you know, as I said, a couple kids back who had some experience last year, but you know, they're adjusting to maybe bigger roles and, you know, different roles on our group. And we've got a couple kids that, you know, were on maybe our JV teams that are making the transition to playing varsity. And then we do have a transfer or two and an incoming freshman who's fairly talented. And, but, you know, all of those kids are, you know, haven't played for us in our system or with our guys. So just kind of that, we got good kids and good players, but I think the month of June is going to be really critical for just developing a chemistry of playing together and playing the way we want to play and really improving our communication. So, you know, each summer is different, and we talked about that with our guys. You know, last year we had four seniors who were four-year players, you know, four-year varsity players, and then a fifth senior who two-year JV, two-year varsity guys. So of our top seven, five of those guys had been in the gym together with us for 4 years. So June last year, we looked like much more of a finished product than what we did yesterday. And, you know, it was kind of a good reminder from myself. You know, we were at the end of the game. We ended up playing a double overtime game in the last game at team camp, which is what everybody wants. Right?
You are the scourge of the earth, Simon.
Yeah. You know, and so we end up, we're up three with, you know, 6 or 7 seconds to go in the second overtime. And they have the ball and we wanted to foul, and I'm screaming out our call to foul, you know, up three with 6, 5, 4, and nobody does anything. We get fortunate. They miss a 3-point shot. And, you know, one of my assistants says to me, you were talking a foreign language. You know, it's not something we covered in our 3 days of team camp, and it wasn't their fault. It was just, you know, in my mind, you know, that's simple, right? That's our call. And, you know, so it was a good reminder for me that this group, we're just going to have to, you know, get a little bit more into some of what maybe are some basic details, but, you know, they're new, and it's going to be exciting and fun. But it was a good reminder for me that I was speaking a foreign language for them. And I think everybody was glad the kid missed a shot. If he made it, I don't know if we played a third overtime or not. We were the last game of the day, and Coach Edson at Miller North, I think, was ready to go home. So, but yeah, so that's that communication piece. And, you know, so our summers looks a little different. We didn't play as many games last summer because I knew we had such an experienced team. You know, we played a lot together, played a lot within the system. And this summer we did add maybe a few more games just to try to get that experience of playing together and playing in our system. And, you know, we think it'll be kind of fun. You know, it was, you know, right away we ended that last game and we talked about, hey, you know, we would foul there under 6 seconds with a 3-point lead. And my fault on coaching, I'm yelling at you something you didn't know, but that's our call. And and you know, so it was good. You know, I think it'll be a group that we think will get a lot better as June goes.
What's kind of some of the strategy, some of the plan to bring this group together, you know, and kind of improve on that leadership and that communication and that type of stuff? Anything you've got in mind there?
Well, it certainly became apparent yesterday that it's something we need to focus on maybe even more than I anticipated. You know, so I think one, just being aware of what it is. Two, you know, as I mentioned, we are going to play a little bit more, which gives us, you know, everybody is, when there's no adversity in a practice or a workout, it's kind of easy to, you know, for guys to be leaders, but when they're maybe not shooting them as well as they want to. And, you know, I was kind of talking to one of our 2B seniors about that on the way out the door, that, you know, last winter, if he wasn't shooting as well as he wanted to, or things weren't going his way, and he kind of was maybe doing a little pouting, and maybe not that big a deal for the group, because there were other guys that were going to do the talking and do the leading. And, you know, this year we need you to be one of those guys. So I think just the experience of doing it, playing a few extra games, you know, I think one of the things we're going to try to do is we're going to try to do some more non-basketball things with this group. The group that we had last year had spent so much time together as a byproduct of all being in the gym for 4 straight years and 4 summers and all that stuff. And, you know, try to find some non-basketball things to do just to get them more comfortable with each other and spending some more time around each other when we can. Obviously the summer's busy. No, these kids are all pulled a million different ways, but, you know, I think that'll be something. It's also something we're going to try to, you know, as we get into our workouts and things like that, try to,
you know, include some things that are going to force them to communicate and force them to talk, you know, with some drills and shooting drills and even, you know, just try to find some goofy ways to get them to talk and get them to communicate. Mm-hmm. We have our youth camp coming up this week, and that's kind of always a fun thing because they get to coach, you know, the little kids, and, you know, we're going to talk to them about, you know, trying to be really communicators when they're coaching as well. So, you know, to me, it's one of the nice things about playing these, you know, game, these team camp games in June is you do get to really get an idea of, you know, what you got to work on. And that was good for us yesterday.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Jim? What are you focused on for yourself? How are you trying to get better?
Well, it's a different group for us. We've traditionally over the last 7-8 years had very little size. I mean, we've been probably as small as anybody. And, we have quite a bit of size this year. It was by far our biggest group. And so we've been a five out, really drive and space team. We've shot a bunch of threes. We've been really perimeter oriented with, you know, with essentially trying to keep the paint open. And somebody said yesterday, you know, when we were at Millard North, somebody said, "Do you even know how to coach a team that has this much size?" And I laughed and I said, "Well, stay tuned in February. There'll be maybe the jury will be in with a verdict on that." So we're not going to make, you know, wholesale changes to everything we do. We have a bunch of size. A lot of them are kind of big wing players, not necessarily traditional post players. But I spent a lot of time in the spring trying to figure out how can we kind of integrate within our five out stuff some different actions or ways in which we can try to take advantage of that size and try to get more paint touches, get more posts up. So, you know, for example, we're toying around with a little bit more Princeton kind of split game type action that we're hoping to use to, you know, out of those splits, you know, try to get some of our 6'4", 6'5", 6'6", kids kind of into the paint and maybe some high-low looks out of that or, you know, some post-ups. So I spent, you know, a couple months this spring really just, I mean, like I said, it was kind of a joke from some of the other coaches in the Metro yesterday seeing our size of saying, you know, do you know how to do that? And honestly, the answer a couple months ago was, you know, we didn't have a whole lot of that. And, you know, so I've tried to get myself better so we can adjust to the different talents and skill sets that this group has. We maybe aren't quite as dynamic in terms of our speed and ability to get downhill 1 through 5 as we have been. We still have a couple kids who can do that. So, but I think if we don't make any adjustments and try to have this team play the way, you know, our past teams have played, you know, we're doing our kids a disservice because we're not putting them in a position to be successful and try to utilize their talent. So, you know, I've spent a lot of time doing that. We're also, and guys who have played against us will know this is a change because of our length and maybe we're not, again, 1 through 5, you know, aren't going to guard the ball quite as well. We're toying around with a little bit of zone and haven't played that very much. And, but, you know, I do think with our length, we'll have some lineups there that, we'll be good with. So actually one of my assistant coaches, Derek Porter, who does a lot of our defensive stuff, I've kind of tasked him this spring with kind of, you know, exploring different options out of zones. And, you know, so we spent some time this week working with that. We didn't play it a ton yesterday, but we did play it just a little bit. You know, so I just think, A, trying to figure out some different tactical things to take advantage of the strengths of this year's team. And I think, you know, for us coaches too, having a newer group like this, it's a little invigorating. We've had great kids, but it's been kind of the same group of kids. So you get a different group and you're always trying to figure out ways to make that group better. So you asked a good question a few minutes ago, and I don't got a great answer of what are you going to do to try to improve the communication? Because honestly, 24 hours ago, I didn't realize how much we needed to improve it. Yeah. You know,
well, that's why you do it though. That's why you're out there.
So, you know, so we saw it yesterday, and I got to figure out over the next, you know, couple days. We've got the weekend off as we usually do, so we'll see him again on Monday. And, you know, the answer can't be me just screaming at them to talk. You know, I've got to figure out some ways to, because our last group, we had great leadership from our guys, where it wasn't anything we did, you know, to get those guys to communicate as well as they did. So got to try to figure out some ways to help us do that a little bit better.
Mm-hmm. What about your staff, Jim? What are you doing to help your staff get better?
Well, you know, I referenced one of the things that we want to do is you know, look at some different defensive options. So, you know, I've kind of empowered one of my assistants to kind of take the lead in that. And, you know, I always think it's good to, you know, try to give your assistants something where they can take some ownership over. I mean, obviously, kind of was, you know, my idea that this might be a team that a zone would at times be something that could help us defensively. And, but, you know, kind of that push, he's done a great job of going out and doing quite a bit of research and, you know, kind of brought that back to me and, you know, in terms of that. So, you know, that's kind of a specific thing with one coach. And, you know, I try in the summer, I'm fortunate enough, we've got a number of quality assistants who are hardworking and very reliable, to give them stuff like that, you know, I mean, to give them really, you know, a specific project or something specific where they can take some ownership of and really dig deep into maybe a certain part of our skill development program or our defensive side of the ball and, you know, try to take some ownership of that. So, you know, they feel that they've got that, you know, responsibility and that voice, and our kids see, you know, for example, the, you know, our one assistant doing all the defensive stuff on the zone over the last couple of days of our install camp. I think that's important, you know, for them to A, you know, have that, what's the word I'm looking for, you know, kind of have that responsibility or, yeah, you know, that ability to take something on their own, and B, for the kids to see them being kind of the lead coach and maybe me being a supporting coach in some areas. So I just think the more the kids are able to see them doing those types of things, it's better. And, you know, we'll try to spend some time as a staff. We're going to go to Kansas City for the Midwest basketball showcase, and also try to spend some time together, you know, as a staff, and just talking about some of these different things with the new group that we do have coming in, and talking about our lower level groups, our freshman group, our JV group, and what those need, and you know, just trying to have those conversations that maybe have a little bit more time to do in the summer and when the school year starts and everybody gets busy with the back to school type of stuff. So I find those valuable. And as I said, try to just really give them the ability to coach. I just think that was something I learned when I was an assistant coach, is nobody wants to just show up and sit on the bench and keep stats. You know, everybody wants to have some sort of responsibility and feel valued and feel an important part of it. And I try to really, in the summer, the kids are going to hear my voice a ton over the next, you know, 8-9 months, whatever it may be, to give those guys an opportunity to take a couple things and really more of a leadership type role in that and be kind of the lead coach. And I can step back and kind of be a supporting coach with a lot of those things. So, and I know they enjoy that. And even during the games, I'll try to turn some of the decision-making over to those guys during the games and try to, you know, give them those in-game responsibilities as well.
Great stuff, Jim. Looking forward to getting out there in the next couple of weeks and checking you guys out, man. Should be good.
You bet. Come on out anytime.
All right. Thanks, Jim.
You bet. Thanks, Marty.
Coaches are absolutely loving our Taking Over a New Program booklet. As many of you know, I spent 2 years outside of coaching, and during that time, I hung a note card in my workspace at school that said, "Strip the house down to the studs." I took that time to really rethink and reorganize my thoughts on what it takes to run a transformational program. As I prepared for the possibility of coaching again, I organized these thoughts into this 96-page booklet. How much do I trust this booklet? I used this booklet as I went on interviews to help sell myself and my vision for what my new program would look like. If I'm using it to sell myself, why wouldn't I recommend it to you, my listeners? This booklet will help you look at any part of your program, no matter what stage you're at in your program, and help improve it in some way. It's all yours for only $15, which includes shipping and handling. For more information, email me at apenandanapkin@gmail.com.
Last but certainly not least,
And this week's podcast is Mr. Steve Klein of Bellevue West. Coach Klein, how are we doing this evening?
Good, good. How are you?
Hanging in there, hanging in there. You're the last of the eight. So we the great eight, the elite eight. I don't know. We'll call it something.
So you can give me all the details of everybody else, right? And give me all the insight.
You're gonna have to listen to it tomorrow. How about that? So, Steve's head boys basketball coach at Bellevue West, coming off a state championship. Steve, you've come off state championships as an assistant coach before, but now you're coming off as a head coach. What's kind of the message? And I asked Mark Kruger the same thing. What's kind of the message to the program? What's the focus of the program when you are coming off of a championship?
Well, it's a little bit different now that I'm in the hot seat. The overall message is to get ourselves prepared for next season, and next season is going to definitely be a challenge for us. But ultimately, we have what we do in our program, and that's not going to change no matter who it is that's in our program. Our culture, our what we do day in and day out, that's all going to be the same. We're going to show up and starting tomorrow morning and in the weight room and really hit it hard. And then we're going to get in the gym, for an hour or hour and a half or so and work some skills and do a lot of shooting and get ready to roll.
Mm-hmm. So tomorrow, you guys haven't even cracked open the summer yet.
Well, we started last week with our clinic.
Okay.
So right away, the first week after Memorial Day, we always do our clinic and then our kids camp. So we got that all knocked out last week, spent 3 days of good time working on just our basic stuff. Cause I've got one guy coming back off of a team that went 27-1 and mm-hmm. has any experience. Everybody else, they're all really young. They're yeah. really talented kids, but they're extremely young. And so we kind of had to go back to square one and start from scratch a little bit. And one of the things that is going to be really different for me and our staff and our kids this year is we're going to have to do a lot more coaching, I think, and really be detailed on what it is we expect, how we want these things ran and all that kind of stuff as we go through. So we have a better knowledge of kind of how things go for us.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything you're looking at with this particularly young team to really focus on this summer?
Well, I think for us this summer, it's going to be finding out who we think can play at the varsity level right now. And I have a pretty good idea of quite a few of them, but we're going to have to really build some depth. And so it's going to be, I told our guys outside of right now, one guy, Robbie Garcia, nobody else has any varsity experience. And so it's going to be fluid as we go through the summer, and we're going to give all kinds of guys opportunities to go through and give them reps at different things in the summer. And we're going to have to work on some new things from a defensive standpoint, simply because we're just not as big as we have been in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've got some young sophomores who are good, but they're not size-wise, they're not real overly big. And so teams are going to try to expose us. And so we're going to have to work on some things this summer where, we're maybe doing some things different defensively and work on those and trying to do a lot of times in the summer, we do a lot of experimenting.
Yeah.
So if we have an idea, we want to try something new or different, we're going to try that this summer and see if it works really well with our group or not. And mm-hmm. if it doesn't, we'll scrap it. If it does, we'll look at using it.
Yeah. Yeah, you're not worried. You're not putting the summer record on the resume, I take it, Klein?
No. That's one of the things that I was discussing with the guys last week. Like, nobody remembers and nobody cares what your summer record is.
Correct.
And so, and to be honest, when we go play games in the summer, whether we're playing in league or we're playing team camps, we like to take 10 guys, and we'll sub 5 for 5 a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just so we can get guys experience and give them a chance to get on the floor and see what they can do and see if they can handle you know, that kind of situation and see what they can do with it.
Yeah. Yeah. And a lot of times in the summer, you kind of get to see what kids can do. And sometimes you can kind of see what kids can't do as well.
Sure. Absolutely. I mean, a prime example was just, you know, when we started, we played on Friday and I had a couple of kids who played freshman ball last year. And I'm trying to do some experiments, see if they, and there were some spots where they showed out really well and I was really impressed. And then there were some times where, you know, you're playing a top level team and you just get exposed when you're young and they did. And so there's certain things that I'm going to have to adjust and be, okay, you know what? I know this kid can handle this situation and this one can't handle this. And so try to put them in the best spot for all of them to be successful.
Yeah. What about you? What are you focused on? You got the first year in quite a while as a head coach under your belt here. You probably feel like your head's above water a little bit more at this time this year than you probably did last year. So are you looking at yourself, or what are you looking at for yourself to get better at, to get ready for next year?
Well, I want to go back and kind of watch some tape of ours from last year and look and see it. It's kind of do some kind of scouting of ourselves and see, are there certain things that we're doing more than others? Defensively, offensively, and kind of look at that a little bit. But I also want to kind of expand my knowledge defensively, especially, you know, Coach Bush, my varsity assistant, is extremely good on the offensive side of the floor. So I kind of have leaned on him to take care of that for me. And so I'm kind of hoping that he'll take care of him. He'll kind of take a little bit more of a role of that, and I'll take more of the defense. And so I'm kind of working on finding some different ways to, you know, guard ball screens, guard off the ball. You know, what are you going to do in certain situations when you have end of clock situations, things like that. So I definitely, you know, I'll be the first one to tell you, I don't know, you know, this is my 23rd year coaching basketball, but there's always something new and there's always something that you got to continue to improve on and grow as a coach.
Mm-hmm. What about your staff? Where are you pushing your staff and in what directions there?
Well, it's a little hard right now because Coach Bush ended up going and getting married this last weekend.
Well, how selfish is that?
I know, ridiculous. Man. I tell you, I don't know what those guys are thinking. But no, he'll be out for a couple weeks here because obviously he got married and going on honeymoon, and you know, happy for him for that. So, you know, Coach Lauritsen, who's my JV coach, you know, he kind of takes our JV guys and works with them quite a bit. And he's had to work with some of the freshmen because Coach Hep kind of got a new job. And so he's not going to be around as much this summer for us, but he's still going to be around. And so, you know, I'm hoping that we get to the fall and we can find a good, you know, a good opportunity to go as a staff, go to a big coach's clinic and kind of sit down and you know, try to learn some things. So that was one of the things with Coach Woodard. You know, he had been around for 40-some years, and he had gotten to a point to where he pretty much had heard everything. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, going to a bunch of coaches' clinics, he would do it, but he wasn't real big on it. But I'm kind of more along the lines of, you know, I'd love to go sit down and listen to guys and you know, see what everybody thinks and maybe see if there's something there that we can pick up for our program and not only our program, but just for everybody else as a coach in general.
Yeah. Awesome stuff, Klein. Really appreciate it, man. You're bringing the podcast home well this week. And, you know, thanks for jumping on for a few minutes.
Well, no problem. I really, again, like I said, I always really appreciate you having me on and, appreciate everything you do for coaches.
I'm trying. So it's been a great lineup here. Kevin Janata, Jeff Schwartz, excuse me, Brandon Schwab, Coach Maz out of Massachusetts, Kruger, Hesse, Jim Simon, Steve Klein, it's been a crazy, crazy few days getting everybody on the line here. Really appreciate everybody listening. You know, again, take a look at apenandanapkin.com. Questions, comments, suggestions, ideas, email me at penandanapkin@gmail.com. Download, rate, review, give us 5 stars. All that fun stuff that you guys have heard a million times. So we'll just roll from there. Coaches, as always, let's be sure to hone our craft one day at